Good morning. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're slowly finishing 1 Corinthians 15. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you also stand, by which also you are saved if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. And after that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to the apostles. And last of all, as it were to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Whether then it was I or they, or so preach and so you believe, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how does some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we witness against God that he raises Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, and you're still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers up the kingdom of God to the Father, and that he has abolished all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. For he has put all things in subjection under his feet, but when he says all things are in subjection, it is evident that he is accepted to put all things in subjection to him. And when all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, that God may be all in all. Otherwise, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why then are they baptized for them? And why are we also in danger every hour? I protest, brethren, by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If from human motives I fought with wild beasts at Ephesus, what does it profit me if the dead are not raised? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Become sober-minded as you ought, and stop sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But someone will say, how are the dead raised, and what kind of body do they come? You fool! That which you sow does not come to life unless it dies, and that which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body just as he wished, and to each of the seeds a body of its own. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another flesh of birds, another of fish. There are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly one is the one, and the glory of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for stars differ from star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, it is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there also is a spiritual body. So also is it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. And as the earthy, so are also those who are earthy. And as the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. And just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. And when the perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. So now, Paul is dealing with an issue that's going on in the Corinthian church about the resurrection. And I got to tell you the connecting thing here. So these guys are, there's a group of the people in the Corinthian church that are basically saying there actually is no resurrection. The reason why they're saying that is they're making a divorce about what they're doing in this life right now. The idea is you can do whatever you want, because it really doesn't matter. At the end of the day, there's no resurrection. We just kind of all just disappear or annihilate or, you know, I mean, all different kinds of theories that are out there. And so he's telling these guys, no, there is a resurrection. This is totally credible. And if you look at at verse 32 going down, this is from human motives, I fought with wild beasts. What does it profit me if the dead are not raised? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Become sober-minded as you ought and stop sinning. For some of your knowledge of God, I speak this to your shame. And so what's happened is there's a group of people that are basically saying, hey, you can do whatever you want. There's actually no consequences whatsoever to the way that you live your life now. And so there's this theology or this, not theology, it would be a heresy that started to creep into the church and basically saying, hey, you know what? This is not what you should be doing. You can just do whatever you want. It's not a big deal because there is no resurrection of the dead. And so now these are believers that you're talking about here. And so Paul very wisely goes back to Jesus and he says, look, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then we have no faith. If there's no resurrection from the dead, then he says, even Jesus was not resurrected. And because if Jesus is not resurrected, then we have nothing. We have nothing to stand on. He says that we are men to be most pitied. It means absolutely nothing if not Christ has been raised from the dead. And he talks here and he says, look, you know that Jesus was raised from the dead. He came to the disciples, or he came to the apostles, he appeared to them. Then he appeared to 500 other people, and even some of them are even among us right now. They were witnesses there with the 500 when Jesus appeared, and then he appeared to James, you know, so he's making a defense. Look, Jesus appeared here, Jesus appeared there. In fact, lastly, Jesus appeared to me. And so I'm the one writing this thing. And so if Christ didn't raise from the dead, then he says, we are in huge trouble. And this is really, I mean, this could very easily be an Easter message at some point, but this is the key. This is what distinguishes, in many ways, the Christian faith, we'll just use the word religion, compared to many, many different ones. We believe in a Savior, we believe in a King that actually is not dead. He may have died on this earth, but he is not dead. We believe in a Savior, and he's got a tomb, but it's totally empty. You can't really say that about anybody else. No one ever made the claim that Jesus did and actually lived it out. There are many people that say all kinds of outlandish things, but we only have one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that actually did what he said he was going to do. Christ died. He was buried, raised the third day. He continues on in this whole thing, and then he gets to this order of resurrection. Okay, so let me take a step back. So there's a teaching arising in the Corinthian church that says there's no resurrection. Paul totally refutes that by using Jesus, by showing that yes, it is a fact that Jesus was resurrected. So many witnesses to this fact, and then he starts talking about the order of the resurrection. In verse 20, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all should be made alive. This is going back in the Old Testament, and Paul very much will pick up on this theme about the first Adam and the second Adam, or the first Adam and the last Adam. And it'll be this kind of wordplay that goes throughout the scriptures, really. Adam brought sin. He was the first man. The last man, which is Jesus, will actually redeem and reconcile all things that the first Adam had taken away because of the sin. And so he gives us this order of resurrection, and then later on we'll talk about the rapture. And we get some of this idea of what we call the fancy term is what we call eschatology, which just means the study of the last days. And so he comes and he says that in the last days, this is kind of the order by which it's going to happen. And he continues on. And at the end of, we just read 33, 34 and whatnot. And then what he does at 35, he starts dealing with some objections that people are having. And he's in 35 says, but someone will say, how are the dead raised and what kind of body do they come? I don't know about you, but I've always wondered about this personally. Because this is really what they're talking about is really heaven. What is heaven going to be like? What kind of body am I going to have? And this is, maybe you guys have not, but long time ago, there was a huge debate in the church about, well, should I cremate my body or should I just bury my body? Because there was so much confusion about this imperishable or this idea. Obviously, they didn't really read Paul very carefully because a lot of Christian traditions, they actually bury instead of cremate. And that's why even in Hong Kong, if you drive through, go through Pak Falam Road, and you'll see the craziest cemeteries. Concrete, I mean, stacked on top of each other on these hills, because it's the same idea that they don't know what's going to happen to the body. I'll tell you, it's okay to be cremated. It's a perishable, but Paul here is talking about an imperishable, that we're going to be changed, that whatever body that we have now is going to be totally different. It's what we call, I mean, the term would be the glorified, resurrected body. And we can just draw some ideas in the scriptures, primarily because of Jesus' resurrected body. And so he came in his glorified, resurrected body. So I'll just throw a few at you here. This is just a freebie this morning. One is seemingly we'll be able to eat in heaven. I don't know if we need to eat, but for those of you that like food, seemingly it seems like there's going to be some food in heaven in some way. The way we can look at that is Jesus, remember he ate the fish. Now he's in his glorified resurrected body. He eats the fish, and so most likely he doesn't need to eat for sustenance or anything like that, but if he wants to, he can. Also seems to be that in our bodies, our glorified resurrected bodies, that we can actually recognize each other in the sense that Jesus was recognized, but God had to open their eyes for them to recognize him. So this is where there's a little bit of gray area. We don't quite know, because then, you know, I always think, well, when I get to heaven, am I going to see you guys there, or am I going to remember you guys? And, oh, yeah, you know, I was your pastor, or something that I fed, or am I going to be able to recognize my wife? Apparently, there will be some recognition, but in that recognition, God is the one that has to open up our eyes, in the sense that guys were sitting with Jesus, and they didn't recognize him until God opened up his eyes. And so we're only inferring what we have in the scriptures. That's what I'm trying to say. It seems to be that we will have this imperishable body, this glorified, resurrected body, but it goes beyond the realm of science, in the sense that Jesus was able to walk through a wall, or walk through doors. And so even though you could see him and you could feel him, remember he told Thomas, touch, and Thomas touched him and all these things. And so, but at the same time, the glorified resurrected body is beyond the physical limitations of this natural world. And he went right through a wall. Other times he was actually totally transported. And so this is kind of an idea. Now, again, I'm not saying this is what's going to happen. I'm just saying we can just infer from the scriptures based on Jesus' glorified, resurrected body. And just the picture that I get is that it's going to be this body that is just beyond, you know, what you're experiencing now. In the same way, you know, how the scientist tells us that, you know, we only use a small, very small percentage of our brain. And yet, I mean, some people are still considered pretty smart. When we get to heaven, it's going to be the maximization of that. I mean, can you imagine? And it's not to mean that we're going to be so smart, but I think the idea, like we read a few days ago, that we will know fully and be fully known. And so we're going to come into that place. I think in that same way, our body is going to come into the glorified, resurrected body is going to be in the fullness of what our bodies are meant to do. Does that mean that we're going to be able to have a 50-foot vertical jump and, you know what I mean, and run the 100-yard, you know, 100 meters in 1 second? I don't know. Maybe. But, you know, because it's heaven, there's going to be no competition, right? So we're not going to be, there's no gold medal. Everyone's got gold medal. And so there's going to be all kinds of things. I don't know why I'm talking about this, but this really, to be honest, this really intrigues me. Because like most people, before I became a Christian, I thought about heaven a long time. I didn't really think about hell because I knew I was going there, so I didn't want to think about too much. But I really thought about heaven a lot, and kind of what is it going to be like? How is this going to be? And one of the things was this whole idea of recognition, and I wanted to be able to recognize my future wife and my future kids, and just sometimes I wouldn't sleep because I was thinking about this so much, and I was a weird guy back in the days. And so he gives us this idea, and then we get to 50, and he talks about this idea, this mystery of resurrection, and he says, look, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So he's closing the thought from before. And he says, I tell you a mystery, we should not all sleep, which is die eternally, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. It seems like this is a little nod to the rapture. When the trumpet sounds, all of a sudden, in an instant, we're going to go from our perishable to our imperishable. Other passages, Thessalonians and whatnot, will tell us that the dead in Christ shall rise first. In other words, those that have died before this time will rise, and then we will all join him. And so these are who would be alive on the earth when the trumpet sounds, and there's going to be this heavenly ascension all together into heaven, and then there's going to be a reign. Well, all depending on your theology or your eschatology. The 1,000-year reign, is it before, is it after, you know, the tribulation, is it before, is it during, or is it after? All these things, let me just, before we get really confused going forward, I don't think it really matters, to be perfectly honest. You know, people talk about, are you pre-mill, are you post-mill? I am pan-mill. Have you ever heard that phrase before? I am pan-millennium, meaning when at the end of the day, it's going to all pan out. And so there's no sense in us getting all worked up about this. But we do hold, at Solomon's Porch, we do hold a very, typical, that we're what we call premillennial. And so I'll talk about that another time. And the trumpet will sound. The imperishable all of a sudden will put on, the perishable put on the imperishable. The mortal will put on immortality. And then we'll come up, and then finally it says that they will come up with the saying, it is written in the end of 54, death is swallowed up in victory. This is the ultimate victory. He's quoting Hosea chapter 13. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is a law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So then what's the conclusion? Now it's going all the way back to the original heresy. Therefore, in conclusion, my brothers, my loving brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. In other words, you guys keep working hard. You keep recognizing that your labor, your striving against sin, your way that you're living your life on this earth, there is a reward at the end of this thing. It just doesn't disappear out of nowhere. There is a resurrection. In other words, what you do in this life really does matter. It means something. And so you continue on in that journey. You continue on working hard. You continue on fighting the good fight. And your labor will not be in vain. Going all the way back to the group of people that said, live and be merry. Eat, drink, and be merry. Because it doesn't really matter what happens at the end. And Paul says, no. Listen, at the end of it all, work hard. Be faithful servants. Be faithful in the things and the work that you carry out because it does matter, because there is a resurrection. And we're going to come into our glorified, resurrected body, and it's going to mean something huge, tremendous. So let's close our eyes. It's the resurrection of the dead. This idea of resurrection is so powerful, it actually answers almost every issue of injustice in this world. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then what Hitler did, it's nothing. The way that we live our lives, it means something. It's not our lives just end up in oblivion. But borrowing from a movie from Gladiator, he says, what you do today will echo for eternity. In the same way, how we live our lives today, these days, will echo for eternity. It will have an effect. So it is important that we live holy lives. It does matter that we are gracious, that we are kind and we're loving. It does matter that we forgive people. Our salvation is not tied up to it because we're saved by grace. But because there's resurrection, what we do has an effect. Some people call that judgment or whatnot. And so let's take a moment this morning and let's just begin to ask Holy Spirit to scan through our life. Maybe you're here this morning and you lack passion for God. Ask Him to search deep and ask why. How did this happen? Where did my labor in the Lord turn into something that was not so fun? Let's spend some time, as Janelle leads us in a song, to ask Holy Spirit to really speak to us. That we put our hope in Jesus, right, in Christ alone. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Huh? Let's pray over our hearts and let's pray over our church. Let's ask God that we would live worthy lives in this life as we wait for our glorified, resurrected body. What we do with our bodies matters. And so let's ask Holy Spirit to continue to look deep inside of us and begin to bring us into wholeness, into purity, into grace. Let's pray together. Go to our community prayer focus and let's pray for our loved ones that are sick, going through different surgeries and therapies, and let's ask God's hand to be with them and really that healing word would come. Thank you. pray for others that need to invite Jesus into their heart, as well as different illnesses. Let's cover them. Let's pray that the word of salvation would go forth powerfully in their lives. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters that are looking for employment. Let's God ask the Lord to open doors for them. Go to our mission prayer focus. Let's pray for Kenny in Japan, Rachel and the Obergs and Thai Care in Thailand. Pray for North Korea. Pray for Chris Kim and his family and the church, persecuted church in North Korea. Let's ask God to just hover over these countries and really begin to do an amazing work in these places. Let's pray for our summer missions trips in Japan and in Thailand. Let's ask God to really begin to move over these countries and really the team members and the leaders, and there'll be a lot of unity, and that's a lot of passion to serve people and to be used by God. Let's pray for the training that's going on in these teams, and let's pray for real fruitful times as they gather together and powerful times of prayer as well. So let's lift these trips up. Let's pray for our children's ministry, a Noah's Ark, the nursery. Let's pray for the youth and men's women's ministries. Let's pray for all the teachers, all the leaders. Pray for all the kids that they would just grow strong in God, and God would just continue to protect them. And pray for the pastors that are running these ministries. And pray especially for more volunteers in Noah's Ark and the nursery. Pray that God would really begin to speak to our church, and there'll be a real willingness to serve and to take care and love kids. And so let's bless these ministries. Let's pray for the house church's meeting tonight. Let's pray for Conduit Road and the Tin Hau House Church. Let's ask God to bless them and bless the leaders. Let them gather together, and Holy Spirit would just really begin to move over people's lives as they discuss a sermon and really pray for each other. And let's ask God's hand to be with them tonight. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you, God, for all that you've done in our lives, Lord. We thank you, God, that the resurrection changes everything, Lord. God, it gives us the hope, God, that no matter what happens, Lord, in this life, God, that there is a resurrection, God. Lord, that even if evil men have done evil things, God, there is a resurrection. And so we ask, God, that we would live lives worthy of that, Lord, that we would be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our toil in the Lord is not in vain. And so continue to remind us, God, that the good that we do has an impact, Lord. And so we thank you, God. Watch over us the rest of this day. We love you, God. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today. We'll see you guys tomorrow. We'll finish up 1 Corinthians.